Honor your father and mother. That's what we're talking about today. Your perception of your parents can change as the years go by. Did you know that? It's good news, huh? Someone expressed it like this. Age 4, my daddy can do anything. Age 7, my dad knows a lot, a whole lot. Age 8, my father doesn't quite know everything. Age 12, oh well, naturally dad doesn't know everything. Age 14, dad, hopelessly old-fashioned. Age 21, dad is out of date. What do you expect? Age 25, dad knows a little about it, but not much. Age 30, I must find out what dad thinks about it. Age 50, what would dad have thought about it? Age 60, dad knew literally everything. Age 65, I wish I could talk it over with dad once more. Isn't it nice to know that the way that your kids and grandkids perceive you today is subject to positive change at some point? The Ten Commandments, God's Big Ten, is our subject these fall Sundays. And their intent has always been to provide boundaries that enhance and enrich your life, never to restrict or deny you anything good. You will never miss anything of value by obeying God's Big Ten. You will never gain anything worthwhile by breaking them. And there's value in reading those Ten Commandments week to week. So I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bible, whatever place you have it. And I'm going to read from Exodus chapter 20 again, beginning at verse 1 and reading through verse 17. We don't hear these Ten Commandments enough, so we're hearing them this fall. And we'll begin at verse 1 and read through verse 17. Here's what God's word says to us today. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. We're at verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor. So today we consider the fifth commandment of those ten. Honor your father and mother. Then you will live a long, full life in the land the Lord your God is giving you. I'm reminded of an insight of one third grade girl in a church school class. Her teacher was giving a lesson on this commandment, honor your father and your mother. And for some reason, the teacher asked the question, now, does anyone know a commandment for brothers and sisters? And this sharp little girl raised her hand and said, thou shalt not kill. I like that. This is the only one of God's Big Ten that comes with a promise attached. A long life is the expected outcome when you honor your parents. And the same really could be said of keeping all of these commandments, actually. After all, the Bible says, fear of the Lord lengthens one's life, but the years of the wicked are cut short. And it's not good to interpret this promise as some kind of ironclad rule. We all know good people who die too young and evil people who live much longer than they deserve. But in general, this promise is true for most people most of the time. When you honor God by respecting and following His values for life and living, well, you can expect many things. You can expect a more productive life, a more wonderful life, a more blessed life, and an ultimately longer life than those who are intent on ignoring God and rejecting His rules for how to live life. So there's two questions today that I'd like to try to ask and answer as we drill down on number five of God's Big Ten. Here's the first one. How can I honor my parents? How can I honor my parents? And honoring and respecting looks a little different depending on what stage of your life that you're in right now. First, as a child, you honor your parents by obeying and respecting them. And that, you know, that might be the most obvious application of this commandment. Over in the New Testament, we find these words, children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. And then they quote the fifth commandment, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you and you will have a long life on earth. The New Testament also says, another place, children, always obey your parents, for this pleases the Lord. When God created the family, He gave mom and dad the responsibility of protection, direction, provision of the family's needs. And during those years of physical growth and inner formation, mom and dad are supposed to be in charge of the kids. Now, the Bible also says not to exasperate and frustrate your kids through cruel punishment or unrealistic demands. Nevertheless, mom and dad have a God-given right to expect obedience. And the stakes are actually higher than they might appear to be. Kids must learn how to submit appropriately to rightful, appropriate authority if they're ever to be productive members of society. You see, that perspective, that attitude begins in their relationship with mom and dad. The child that grows up saying outwardly or even inwardly, nobody tells me what to do, that child is going to have a hard time keeping a job, building a career, having any deep, meaningful relationships with anybody else. You show me a child who's never had to learn to obey mom and dad or who somehow learned how to thwart their rules successfully without any painful consequences, and I'll show you an adult who will be both a menace to society and a constant rebel against God. The child that just never learns to honor mom and dad will have little respect for any person, including God Himself. And so the very best way to ruin your child's opportunity to have a good relationship with God, as well as any kind of real lasting success in life, is to give him or her the option of obeying you. By the same token, insisting that you're obeyed is the very best way to open the door for your child to obey and respect God, as well then to be a blessing to society as a whole. One just leads to the other. They're connected. Now, second, as a teenager or maybe as a young adult, you honor your parents by accepting and appreciating them. Accepting and appreciating them. I mean, even young teenagers are now able to start seeing the faults in their parents. You know, the little hypocrisies, the little chinks in the armor, they start to show up. And acceptance doesn't mean pretending mom and dad are perfect. Acceptance looks like acknowledging that God chose them to bring you into this world. They gave you something that nobody else did. your life, and you owe them your physical life regardless of their parenting skills. Acceptance is demonstrated by listening respectfully to what they say. Don't tune them out. You can still disagree without being disagreeable. Acceptance looks like forgiveness at times. I mean, we often hurt the ones that we love most, sometimes unintentionally. Yes, mom and dad will hurt you sometimes. Oh, by the way, you will hurt them as well. You honor your parents when you forgive them for whatever they got wrong and you choose to focus on whatever they did right. Appreciation happens when you recognize their effort. Being a parent is a difficult, time-demanding, energy-draining task. Appreciate your parents for investing in you. Appreciation just simply recognizes their sacrifice. Parenting is also expensive. Did you know that if you're a parent today, it will cost you somewhere between $200,000 and $250,000 to raise a child to the age of 18? And then comes college for some families. When your parents chose to bring you into the world, they chose to do without some other things. Value that choice. Appreciate it. Third, as a mature adult, you honor your parents by affirming them and not abandoning them. Affirming them and not abandoning them. It's important to remember that the commandment that we read here wasn't just given to kids originally. It was given to adult Israelites. Honoring and respecting parents isn't just for kids. As parents age, different sources of affirmation begin to disappear for them. Their job is now history. Their friends, maybe even their spouse, precede them in death. Grown children are now busy with their own families and careers and lives. And older parents need to feel and know that they've made and still make a positive contribution to your life. They need affirmation. And so at this stage in their lives, respect and honor look a great deal like thoughtful, intentional affirmation of mom and dad. At the very least, affirmation looks like taking the initiative to stay in touch with mom and dad. Call them often, visit them all that you can, give them verbal appreciation, share with them the details of your own life. They're usually more than interested. Ask them about their lives. Take personal responsibility to cultivate your relationship with them. Affirmation also looks like listening to their counsel and showing courtesy by asking for their counsel. You may not always follow that counsel, that's okay, but listen to it, value it. The Bible says to be there for parents in their final years. Don't abandon them. Sometimes in life, the roles get reversed, don't they? Once they fed and bathed and took care of you, it may happen that you will need to feed, bathe, and take care of them or make sure that it gets done. And honoring aged parents, it's not universally valued. In the days of the Roman Empire, when, you know, the New Testament was being written and the Christians were first coming together, men and women over 60 years of age were often drowned intentionally because they were thought to be no longer useful to society. In ancient Eskimo culture, aged parents were sometimes put out on slabs of floating ice until the wind and the snow claimed their bodies. And even today, you hear about things that amount to abandonment, physical abuse of the elderly, family members taking financial advantage of aged parents, sometimes putting them in dehumanizing nursing centers. Let me quickly add, as a pastor, I've seen many wonderful nursing care facilities. I'm not knocking them. I'm just saying that some are bad. And the Bible says it's the primary responsibility of the family, namely adult children, to provide for the needs of elderly parents. There's no assumption it's the government's responsibility. Jesus, in fact, criticized the Pharisees on one occasion for not supporting their aged parents by claiming hypocritically that the money they would have set aside for their parents had already been devoted to God. Oh, I can't help mom and dad. I'm giving all my money to the synagogue. Jesus said no. And in the New Testament, that issue of caring for aged widows came up. In one place it says, but if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. Anyone who does not provide for their relatives and especially for their own household has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. It's a pretty strong statement, isn't it? Pretty strong. You know, folks, one of the most agonizing decisions that you may be asked to make, and I've seen this a lot here in this church particularly, or that you may be involved in making, is whether your parent should be placed in a facility that provides professional care. And I don't see in the Bible where it says that only one choice is inherently the most God-honoring decision. Depends on many factors. But I do think that you need to be involved in the decision. I do think it's appropriate to give financial assistance if necessary. We honor our parents by doing all that we can to make those final years in their lives as free from worry about just the basic essentials of life: food, clothing, shelter. If we can just eliminate worry and anxiety, then I think we've honored them. Here's the question that we need to be asking. Lord, how best can I honor mom or dad in this situation? And if your heart is sincere, God will show you, and it need not be the same answer for every person. I want to move on to a very difficult aspect of the question, how can I honor my parents? Because it's the kind of world that we live in. What if your parents were just downright dishonorable? What does honoring them mean then? You know, fortunately, I don't have to answer that question personally. My parents are both in heaven with the Lord today. No, they weren't perfect, but it was easy for me to respect and honor them. I wear my dad's wedding band on my right hand as just a quiet tribute to both of them and as a reminder to me to keep following the godly values they passed down to me. But what if your parents weren't worthy of respect or honor? How do you observe this commandment? Just one heartbreaking example of what I mean. A woman named Patricia Bissell shared the story of her abysmal childhood. I'm quoting, "I was born in 1928 to an affluent family plagued by demons that must have lurked in dark crooks of the family tree for generations. By any measure, my childhood was a relentless horror. Before I was 2 years old, my mother died at the hands of an abortionist to whom she had been forced to go by my father. He detested me. He certainly did not want a second child around. We went to live with my father's mother, a stern and self-righteous woman who was viewed as a community and church leader. Every memory I have of my early childhood is gripped by overwhelming fear of my father. He beat me practically every day with his leather razor strap, a practice my grandmother endorsed. Other times he locked me in a closet. Fragments of horror from that time litter my mind. One of the most terrifying was a parlor trick my father enjoyed. He would pick me up, hold me firmly atop his shoulders, and with great laughter dance about the room. Then he would deliberately saunter through the doorway and smash my head into the wall above the door. The only photograph I have of my father and me shows us standing in front of the house. He is smiling, holding me in his arms. Terror is etched across my small face. I am clearly pushing away from him with all my strength. And then when Patricia turned six, sexual abuse by her father began. I'll spare us all the details. Then she continues, when I was seven, an acquaintance stabbed my father to death in our pantry. I do not recall ever having received even a flicker of warmth or love from him or from anyone else at that point in my life. Wow. And so you might ask, Rick, how can God expect Patricia Bissell to honor her father? I don't know whether it helps to know this, but such a parent would have been executed under Old Testament law. I mean, I guess there's just some things that even God will not tolerate. All I can say in the face of such horrible and nightmarish abuse is that while some people will find it impossible to ever honor their own literal specific parents, they can still honor the position, the role, the responsibility of parenthood. They can honor parenthood by refusing to perpetuate such behavior with their own children. They can honor parenthood by allowing God to become their heavenly father. They can honor parenthood by then allowing God to do a work of inner healing in them. In fact, only He can bring true and inner healing to someone so abused by parental sin. A relationship with your parents can become very strained and difficult for far lesser issues than I just shared with you about Patricia Bissell. You know, things like just general neglect, physical, emotional abuse, love that was conditional on your performance or adherence to their expectations, or treatment of you that was a result of their own substance abuse, alcohol or drugs or whatever. And all I can say to you that is, as a fellow sinner, you honor your parents by forgiving them and by honoring the role itself. Allow God to do a deep work of forgiveness in your heart for the sinful things that your parents did to you. Prove the truth of God's promise in His Word. Even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. And He will. And you will discover that what it means to have a heavenly Father who is perfect and who loves you perfectly. He loves you with a love that will never let you go. He will never forsake you. He wants you to be in His family forever. Nobody is asking you to excuse your parents' sin against you or minimize it. Instead, face that sin and by God's grace and through His mercy, forgive them. Forgive them. I love a story about something that happened on a cold winter's night. A man suffered a heart attack. Once admitted to the hospital, he asked a nurse to call his daughter. And he explained to the nurse, he said, you see, I live alone and she's the only family I have. So the nurse called the daughter. And the daughter got very agitated and upset by this news and she shouted into the phone, you must not let him die. She went on to explain, Dad and I had a terrible argument almost a year ago. I haven't seen him since. And all these months I've wanted to go to him for forgiveness. The last thing I said to him was, I hate you. I'm coming right now. I can be there in 30 minutes. And moments later, her father went into cardiac arrest again, and the medical team was not able to bring him back. And when the daughter arrived, the nurse took her aside and she said, I'm sorry, but he's gone. And the daughter said to her, you know, I never really hated him. I loved him and now I want to go see him. And the nurse took her into his room. And the daughter went over to the bed and buried her face in the sheets as she said goodbye to her deceased father. And the nurse noticed a scrap of paper on the bedside table. She picked it up and she read it aloud. My dearest Janie, I forgive you. I pray you will also forgive me. I know that you love me. I love you too. signed Daddy. Perhaps the greatest gift that you and I can ever give when it comes to our families is the gift of forgiveness. The gift of forgiveness. Well, let me move quickly now to asking and answering a second question today. How can I be a parent worthy of honor? That's a secondary, but I think it's a related question when we talk about this commandment. How can I be a parent worthy of honor? It's been said, it's only by the grace of God that any of us survive parenthood. We enter this role entirely inexperienced, and by the time we get the experience we need it, we're unemployed. A lot of truth to that. And yes, it's true that children should honor their parents whether or not they're completely worthy of being honored. But how much better is it when you live a life that's easy for your kids to honor? Not a perfect life, but an honorable life. And so here's just five suggestions to throw out to you. First of all, love your children consistently. Love your children consistently. Here's four words that if you live them out, it'll make your kids always feel loved. You ready? Touch, bless, listen, pray. Touch, bless, listen, pray. Mom and dad, your kids need the affirmation only physical touch can provide. Hug them often. Don't you love that story when the father welcomed home his lost son in Jesus' famous story? It says the father threw his arms around him and kissed him. I bet he still smelled like a pig. But that dad hugged that boy, pig smell and all. Mom and dad, bless your kids. Bless your kids. Let them know that you believe in them, that you have high hopes for their future. Remind them verbally and often how special they are to you and to God. Do your best to add value to their lives daily. And then mom and dad, listen to your kids. That's the third one. Listen. Listen more and offer advice less. Turn off the advice switch once in a while. Mom and dad, never stop praying for your kids. Mom and dad, if you don't pray for your kids, who's going to pray for them? The most loving thing that you can ever do for your kids is to bring them before God's throne of grace consistently. Second, lift your kids constantly. Here's something to think about. It's great to have goals for yourself. It's inappropriate to have goals for your children. Really? Why? Well, it's good to have personal goals because you have, by God's grace, some control over yourself. But we don't control our kids. For example, so it's appropriate that we have desires for our kids and our grandkids, but not necessarily goals. For example, I desire that my kids who are grown now, that they know Jesus and follow him. And with that in mind, my personal goal is to be a godly father and now a grandfather, someone worthy of honor who leaves a great example because my desire is for godly children and grandchildren. Be a source of encouragement to your kids, not a controlling, manipulative parent who tries to force your kids into achieving some goal that you've created for them. Build them up. Those beautiful summer flowers, impatience, they begin to droop on just a really hot day. But if you give them a quick soaking with the hose, they perk right up again. And your kids need a constant soaking with the hose of encouragement. Lift them. Third, limit your kids positively. Limit them positively. You know, it's ironic, but sadly in the Bible, there's full of godly men who were poor dads. Eli, Samuel, David. What made them poor dads? They failed to discipline their children positively. They let them get away with misbehavior. They refused to confront and correct them. They prevented them from suffering the painful consequences of their own wrong behavior. I've always appreciated the observation of Dr. James Dobson, used to be with Focus on the Family, who said that parents have the responsibility of shaping a child's will without breaking his or her spirit. So in other words, you never attack a child's sense of self-worth or value. You never say things like, you're worthless, you're hopeless. By the same token, we declare war, if necessary, on any defiant, rebellious attitude that says more or less, I will not let anybody tell me what to do, not even mom and dad. I will do whatever I want to do in life whenever I want to do it. Even your sweet, precious child has that attitude embedded somewhere in his or her life. And if you love your child, you will make up your mind to win that war for his sake, for her sake, and for God's sake. Limit your children positively in love. Number four, laugh with your kids frequently. I mean, don't let what I just said about discipline give you the impression that a godly home is somehow severe and unsmiling and harsh. No way. A home where God is honored should be the happiest, the most joyful, the most lighthearted place to live most of the time. So lighten up, mom and dad. Let your kids see you laugh at yourself. You've done some dumb stuff, right? Laugh at yourself. Let your home ring with continual laughter. And then last, and maybe most importantly, lead your kids spiritually. Lead your kids spiritually. Your number one desire for them, not a goal, your number one desire as a parent ought to be to see each of your children become devoted lifelong disciples of Jesus. And not just believers in Jesus, but disciples in Jesus. I say that because over the years I've had parents say things like, well, he was baptized 30 years ago. I mean, he's living like the devil now, but I mean, he prayed a prayer. He got baptized. Okay. Do you want your children, grandchildren, just to be believers in Jesus, or do you want them to be lifelong devoted disciples of Jesus? And of course, you can't force a relationship with Jesus on them, but you can create an environment where it's more likely to happen than not. You can intentionally open up what it means to follow Jesus so that becoming his follower becomes almost inevitable for them. Mom and dad, let me remind you again. You are your children's primary pastor, not me. Not me. You are. Talk about God with your kids. Read the Bible and pray together with them. Have conversations about spiritual things. Bring them to church every Sunday. Insist that they be involved in spiritual activities that are age appropriate. Let them see you practice what you preach. For example, talk about tithing and let them see that you give the tithe. Pray with them for lost people. Let them see you read God's word and hear you pray. Show compassion with them for people who are hurting and in need. Your greatest task as a parent is to be a spiritual leader to them. Back in 1993, they were doing some kind of renovation at the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, New York. And they were moving some cabinets around. There was some display cases that they were shifting around. And when they moved one display case, they found behind it a picture. And it was a picture of a stocky man in a baseball uniform with the words Sinclair Oil across the front of the shirt. And there was a note that was attached to the picture. And it said, it was written in a man's handwriting. And here's what the note said. You were never too tired to play ball. on your day off, you help to build the Little League field. You always came to watch me play. You're a Hall of Fame dad. I wish I could share this moment with you. Well, nobody at the Hall of Fame knew who this picture was or what the story was behind it. A national sports magazine got a hold of the story and they publicized it. And before long, someone stepped up and said, "Yeah, I'm the one who put that picture there." The man's name is Pat O'Donnell. And the picture is of his dad, Joe O'Donnell, because he wanted to put his dad in the Hall of Fame. Because of his influence and his love, he just wanted to do something to recognize and celebrate his dad. And so on a personal visit to the Baseball Hall of Fame, he tucked that little picture behind a display case in the Baseball Hall of Fame just to say, "Dad, you're in my Hall of Fame." We have a lot of parents and grandparents and probably some great-grandparents here today. Don't you want to be in your kids' and your grandkids' Hall of Fame? I know I do. I've got kids, I've got grandkids, and I hope that when I'm gone, that I will have set the kind of example to them that would say, "Yeah, he's someone special. He's in my Hall of Fame." Let's make it easy. Let's make it easy for our kids, our grandkids, our great-grandkids to follow this commandment: honor your father and your mother. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks for the privilege of being able to call you Father. Your word tells us that we understand fatherhood. We understand what it means to be a parent because of who you are, because you are the great and the good and the perfect Father, parent of all of us. Father, we come before you today. We ask that you would continue to help us, whatever age we're at, whatever place we are in life, to honor our father and mother appropriately. Father, I want to particularly pray for those in our midst today who resonated with that section of today's message about trying to honor parents who, frankly, don't deserve honor and respect. Lord, I pray that you would give them the grace to forgive and to find the healing that they alone can find through you, the perfect Father. And Lord, we pray that those of us who are parents today, grandparents, great-grandparents, that we will do everything that we can to make it easy for those who come after us to honor what we have given to them through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.